Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of multifamily operational challenges in 2023. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the fabulous Tony Sousa, the Vice President of Operations at RPM Living. Welcome, Tony.
Paul, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you are probably one of the most prolific people that I follow on LinkedIn when it comes to the multifamily industry, and you always have great thoughts and insights to share. Many of them having to do with operational challenges, one of the things that I think most people seem to be concerned about in the last year or so is finding team members and so forth. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing.
Well, Paul, I appreciate that initial compliment from you, and I too follow you and many out there that are doing great things. But I'll tell you, from sourcing and discovering great talent, and even speaking to LinkedIn that you mentioned earlier, really that's probably 7-8 years ago why I joined the platform itself, was really to find talent throughout maybe the city, the state, even throughout the country for openings I had. And so a lot of people don't realize, and you may know, some listening may know as well, I'm originally from California. And so I moved to Texas, let's say, 8 years ago, give or take. And I knew nobody. I didn't know anybody. And I had to think really quickly how I could find people. And we had a very small recruiting department at the time, and I had to get creative. I had to figure out different platforms and channels available to find talent throughout the country. I knew my ability to show up to job fairs and career fairs, in person was somewhat limited, and even on the best showings, maybe you would meet 20 people, 30 people, maybe on an amazing day, maybe 50. But I quickly realized that really, online is where everybody is. And so that's where I started, just started to reach out, build relationships, digital relationships, virtual relationships, which now for me have really become long time relationships and frankly human relationships now. So I run into a lot of folks at conferences and otherwise, and also take calls and talk with some close friends as well, that I've discovered through the network. But, to anyone listening and thinking about how can I source great talent, you really have to be creative. It's not just your standard job fair anymore. And frankly, if you're hoping to find the best talent through just a simple job requisition that you post, the chances are pretty low. Now, you may get lucky, but you got to go out and get that talent. You have to go out and build those relationships. And it takes effort and it takes work.
And, the great Mary Gwynn was on our show recently, and she was talking about the fact that it used to be that you could say that a resume, when you get a resume, it's got a shelf life of 15 minutes. But now, with the situation that's out there as far as trying to find talent, she says it's not even 15 minutes. If you don't jump quick on somebody, they're going to already find another place. Is that what you're finding?
Yeah, you do have to be quick, but you also have to build these relationships proactively. You have to find talent in those in certain positions even before you have openings in those positions. So it's not I think our industry, many other industries, have been very reactive when you have an opening. I've taken a strategy, and really it's just kind of been fostered from great mentors and leaders that have spoken into my life and reminded me that I need to be building what they call sort of this pipeline of relationships or recruits, if you will, before I even have an opening, right? And so you know, that's going to be effective for anyone at any level. You know, I happen to be, you know, doing what I do, but if you're a community manager, you should be building really your bench and your pipeline of assistant managers and maintenance and leasing consultants, and really at every level, regional managers. You should have a few community managers that you know well that you could send, you know, what they call a, you know, a direct message or a text directly to some of these individuals if you happen to have an opening. But that means you've built those relationships prior to having that opening.
And let's say that you've found somebody that you're bringing on board. What are the challenges or the differences today in actually hiring them and doing the onboarding process?
Well, I think it's a great question, Paul. I think today we speak of life post-pandemic, and I think a lot of people have they look at life differently. They look at work differently. And so I think there's a bit more pressure on hiring managers and companies to make sure that those that they bring in to the company have a great start to the company. We've found more than ever before, people are quick to accept jobs, but also what they say, ghost you or not show up for roles. And often that's more on site than corporate roles. But that also happens at every level. And so I think it's really important that the onboarding process, even leading before day one, is very, very streamlined, very communicative from your HR department as well. I think that's your first step as an organization to show that you're organized, that you have good processes, that you're a good communicating organization. And I think that's important as you bring somebody on board with your company and gives you the best probability of retaining them long term because you make such a good example of the onboarding process.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are so desperate to find talent that when they find somebody, they just kind of throw them into the fire and let them see, you know, what happens because they've got to go on and fill the next position. But how is goal setting with that new employee, how does that play a role?
Well, I think it's key. I think it goes back to the communication component, goal setting, career mapping, those sorts of things. And I think that's a collaborative conversation, not only with the organization and expectations and business expectations you may have for that role, but I think in that collaborative conversation, you also need to be learning what their goals are and ideally trying to help them meet their goals while meeting the company's goals. And I think the relationship between those two will help with long-term retention. Everybody wants to find a job to where they enjoy what they do, they can meet those goals and expectations in time, and then ultimately, you know, they want to believe that an organization or a company is looking to meet their goals or help them reach their goals. And if you do that well and you communicate that well and you have, you know, incremental touch points to check in on how it's going, I think that's a really great experience for everybody.
You know, The next thought I have is obviously training. Mm-hmm. when you bring on a new employee, how has that changed, and how do you see that going in the future?
Well, you know, the change in training, I think, has become a lot of virtual training. You know, post-pandemic, I think we in our training departments, both here at RPM and outside, have realized you can effectively train online as well as in person. So here at RPM, we sort of do a combination of things. Of course, virtual training, but we also have a buddy program or a mentor program, if you will. So linking, you know, a new hire with somebody or two that they can call or reach out to if they need to know where a form is or how to go about this process, but at the same time, sort of a library of training options. And I think what's key for training as well, and a pivot that I've seen since the pandemic, is much of the training is not live anymore, although you do have a live component. Much of it is saved and archived for later use, so you can watch it at your convenience, slow it down, reverse it, slow it down, reverse it, just to make sure you understand what you're learning.
Before we end this segment, though, I want to ask you, share some tips, and we have about 2 minutes left, share some tips about if someone has got, you know, a variety of different positions open, what would be the, you know, steps 1, 2, and 3 you would do?
Sure, yeah. Step one, I think you need to prioritize your openings in regards to urgency. All positions obviously are vital, but I think if you have multiple openings, you need to really prioritize which one is the most urgent, or maybe which one has been open the longest, and so you need to exert your efforts, I think, in that level of priority. And I also think don't limit yourself to just an online platform. Don't just go to LinkedIn. Don't just post a requisition. Don't just post, you know, to a Craigslist, you know, to Craigslist for maybe other types of positions. Understand where the fishes are fishing, and take your fishing pole and go to where they're fishing and be strategic about it. But don't be, as they say, a one-trick pony. Understand that recruiting takes a little bit of time. It takes a lot of creativity and resourcefulness. And I think if you're dedicated and willing to put in that time and energy, and don't just expect your HR or your talent acquisition specialist to find you talent, I think in collaboration with them, you of course can. But you as the operator, you as the individual, I think you need to go out and also help in that process and find some of the best talent in your market.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of multifamily operational challenges in 2023. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the great Tony Sousa, the Vice President of Operations at RPM Living. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Tony, in the first segment, we talked about trying to hire team members and some of the things that are challenges and some tips that you recommend for that. Let's talk in this segment about retaining existing employees, employee retention. Communication. I think a lot of people have mentioned to me that you got to communicate well with your employees in order to keep them in the loop and make them feel like they're being heard.
Yeah, communication is probably the most underrated skill set, I would say, in retention of talent. I've always said that, you know, recruiting is a very different skill set than retention, and I'm glad you're bringing it up. Retention is a combination of things. It's the relationship I think you have with your team and or your employees. I think they're assessing on a daily basis how much both you care about your business and how much you care about them. And I think if they determine that your care about both of those are limited or disingenuous or not very deep, their relationship to the business and their relationship to you will be the same. And so, you know, what do I mean by that? How do you show you care for somebody? Well, I think it's being there when they need you. I think it's also having the conversations they need to have, whether you bring things to their attention or they bring things to your attention, and then having a thoughtful response, not just sort of a company response or a, you know, surface response, but really having a thoughtful response that's not cliche, that has some nuance and some detail to it that provides them really some unique assistance. Every situation we know in property management can often be very different. We often operate in the gray, and so I think in mentoring your teams and supporting them, that challenges you as the leader to really, you know, listen and be really thoughtful in your feedback and trying to help them resolve the issue at hand.
And let's talk a little bit about overloading a new employee existing employee with all the openings that there seems to be out there and turnover that's happening in different places. We've heard a lot about employees feeling like they're overworked because they're covering for more than one position. What do you do about that?
Yeah, that's a real thing, Paul. Because of some of the teams are very short-staffed, and so there's limited individuals having to do more jobs or more roles or take on more responsibilities, and burnout is real. And so I think as leaders, we need to be really mindful of the potential for burnout. And once burnout happens and continues to foster and inflame, it's probably a limited amount of time until they do potentially look elsewhere for something with better work-life balance. And so I think, you know, for leaders, again, going back to that communication word, is continuing to keep your employees close and understand how burnt out they are or not. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, I'm out of here, and 1 is I'm doing just fine. You want to probably have sort of a running number in your head for each employee. Obviously, anything north of 5, you probably want to continue to check in probably a little more frequently and potentially find ways to reduce burden. And sometimes that means as a leader, maybe taking on more yourself. And so you just need to continue to evaluate that. Again, I think that sliding scale is helpful as well. But the reality is also leaders are getting burnt out as well. You know, there may be some leaders listening to this and saying, listen, I'm the leader, but I'm burnt out. Mm-hmm. What I would say to leaders, at whatever level they may be, and if you're at a high level, I would hope that you find and know ways to find a balance in your life. And if you're not a leader, I would also encourage you to find a balance to your life and understand how important friends and family and hobbies and other things are to helping reduce stress, helping to reduce burnout, and continue to focus on those things. Because frankly, in 23, and I think for the years ahead, I don't think the workload is going to become any less. I think it's only going to potentially accelerate. And so that's, you're going to have to continue to be mindful of that and find ways to decompress and find ways to relieve stress in your own life, and also over-communicate with your boss. And if you're the leader, or the boss, be able to communicate to your employees as well.
Yeah, and the burnout, another term that we hear a lot today when it comes to things having to do with burnout is mental health of the employees. What are you hearing about that?
Well, there's a lot of discussion about mental health, really over the last probably 5 to 10 years, but I think over the last few years, during the pandemic, post-pandemic, I equate the two to be very similar. Burnout is just that. I think your mental, emotional, call it even spiritual health, are all a part of potential burnout. And so I think you have to find ways to plug in and replenish your energies and frankly support your mental health. That's all you have. You just have one body, you have one mind, and you have to make sure that you take care of that. You know, and that's a whole nother topic of taking care of yourself physically as well and getting the rest you need and of course, you know, trying to eat well and exercise where you can. It's tough. A lot of us have office jobs, and so I find myself in this chair more than I want to. But it's really important for me after hours to stay active. I have three small children, so sometimes that does it's not a voluntary thing. They keep me on my toes, but I ultimately find that it's helpful in even keeping me active and reducing stress levels for myself.
Yeah, we got about 4 minutes left in this segment, and let's talk about the elephant in the room when it comes to employee retention compensation. What is the situation out there now? It's changed a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think important for all your listeners to know is I think to some extent everybody feels not compensated enough. And so everyone, you know, always feels as though they're doing more and getting paid less. I think that is probably just, you know, and that's been the case pre-pandemic, post-pandemic. I think that's just something you need to process. And I think, you know, being willing to give of yourself and the value to both your company and your position, and just know that I think financial reward in compensation will come in time with value. Now, if you feel you're completely undercompensated or undervalued, you know, have those conversations with your boss or leader if they're willing to have them. And if you feel you're not getting those answers that are fair, then you know, further address those. And obviously, if you need to take, you know, further action, consider that. But I'm not the guy. I'm not the one to say, listen, if your boss, your leader doesn't give you what you want, get out of there. I think there is something in today's culture to say, you know, you deserve more, and if you don't get it, you know, go start applying everywhere else. I think that's a really sort of short-term perspective. I think that's very reactionary. It's definitely not something that I have done in my career. I've always tried to play the long game and have perspective, and for me it's worked out, you know, quite well. But there's also been moments in my career that I felt, you know, the ways that some employees do about compensation or feeling valued. And so, you know, but I think it's important to have people around you, friends and people that kind of you can talk to about that situation to help provide you perspective. Because I think if you do stop and really think about it, I think you'll realize that you maybe have it better than you think you do. And I could be wrong, and this is not the case for everybody, but I think for the most part, I think most people have it better than they think they do. Now, compensation, sure, that has to be fair. That has to be competitive. Obviously, companies need to be evaluating the market, their submarkets, their states, their cities, to make sure that they are in line. I don't think most employees expect to be overpaid. I think they also would like not to be underpaid. And so I think, you know, companies and organizations need to make sure that their pay scale is in line with their competitors. And if it's not, then that's a real issue.
We got about 1 minute left, and I want to just ask one more question about retention. How important is discussing or employee advancement, you know, opportunities for advancement? How is that in retention?
Yeah, I think that's vital. That's a great question, Paul. I think it's vital that you talk about where you're at today and where you want to go. I would say the majority of associates, employees, are ambitious and want to grow, not all. And so I think that comes from honest conversations that you have, but I would say that most do. And so I think you actively start, you know, from day one, even first week, first month, first 6 months, you know, game planning how, you know, growth looks like, what growth looks like for them, and start planning those touch points along the way, just like a board game, and checking in at certain points on that board game. And I think if you're doing that, I think employees feel really valued, and I feel that they feel really hopeful and optimistic for their future.
All right. Well, we are going to stop it here. We're going to be back after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program. And it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of multifamily operational challenges in 2023. I'm Paul Marks, joined by phone as longtime multifamily industry veteran, the fantastic Tony Sousa, the Vice President of Operations at RPM Living. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, don't delay, call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Tony, we talked in the first segment about hiring your team members and how to find team members, and then in this last segment we talked about employee retention and all the components of retaining your employees. Let's talk now something that's really not as much employee-related but property-related. Supply chain and inflation issues. That is a hot topic out there right now, not just in the multifamily industry, but across the board for everybody. What are you seeing as far as causing any delays in meeting goals that you have for the properties?
Yeah, it's a real problem, and it really has been for the last couple of years. Although I will say this, and hopefully encouraging to anyone listening, that some of the supply chain bottleneck issues of supplies and products, we are seeing in some ways easing, and so we're encouraged by that. Why that's occurring, we're not exactly sure, but we are able to get product and appliances and other things, I think, a little quicker than we were maybe just 12 to 18 months ago. And so that's a positive. But I'll tell you, expenses, inflation, those are all really happening. And we are seeing rising costs across the board from obviously supply partners. You know, their costs are going up, so that means operational costs are going up, product supplies are going up across the board. And so we are, you know, on the management side, on the operator side, really being pinched, in between those two, you know, sort of situations occurring in the marketplace. Obviously, ownership and clients, they want us to find every way to save a penny, save a dollar where we can, and so we strive to do that. And so, you know, us here locally and internally here, you know, at RPM, we're trying to find ways to continue to remain efficient with our spend, as lean as possible, and and at the same time continue to drive occupancies and potential rent growth where we can as well to help offset some of the costs that we're seeing across the board. But that is the challenge. That is the challenge of our industry. That's the challenge of many industries at this point, is to find ways to be more efficient with the product and supplies that we have. And so we are continuing to focus on that through an audit system and other sort of systems of accountability, and then trying to find ways to offset some of those costs with other income revenue streams as well as ancillary income streams.
It just amazes me. You know, you start in July, August timeframe doing your budgeting. then you finally get it approved, yeah. And then all of a sudden you find out that, you know, costs have gone up. How do you deal with that? And you mentioned your owners, you know, sometimes there are understanding, but my gosh, it's been crazy.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you have clients that range. Some are very understanding and understand that you completed an annual budget in August or September of the previous year, and here you are in January, February, which is almost 6 months from that point, and things in the world is changing rapidly, and we know this over the last couple of years, the world can change, on a dime. And so, the golden rule for us on the operator side is to obviously have the best relationship we possibly can with our clients and owners, and we do, communicate ahead of time, during time, and afterwards. Make sure that they're well aware of some of the proposals and price increases that we're seeing so that they can, if they need to, reforecast or really kind of look at alternative, supplies or products or solutions for whatever we may be facing. So that is a challenge, let's be honest. And frankly, we wish we had better answers at times. And we wish we had better proposals, better costs. Obviously, 2 to 3, sometimes 4 proposals. We try to find the best price for everything that we do, which is challenging operators. You know, speaking to the points earlier, that causes additional work that maybe we haven't had to do, in years past. But now, here we are facing, potential soft recession. That's just part of the job. And those who have been in this industry for some time understand that this industry is cyclical, like most industries. And we are, I think, in the midst of a bit of a recession. And so it just takes a bit more work to find opportunities and income where we can and be able to save every penny we possibly can.
You know, you mentioned reforecasting your budgets. Do you see that happening a little bit more frequently with all the supply chain and inflation issues? Are you having to do that more often?
Yeah, I mean, you are. I mean, obviously, if you're not hitting your benchmarks, oftentimes, the expectation is sometimes a monthly reforecast or a quarterly reforecast, but you're seeing it more frequently than you ever have in the past. And it obviously has much to do with not hitting your targets or your marks. And so your clients and shareholders want to know where we're at and where we see ourselves going forward. The key to that, anybody working on a reforecast, is try to be, obviously as accurate as you can with the future. And I know sometimes the intention or the pressure is to be, sort of optimistic or paint a rosier picture. I think what clients and owners really appreciate is the most realistic picture you can. And obviously, if you need to revise or reforecast in a more rosy way per guidance, then you'll do so. But I think owners and clients, what they appreciate and what they expect is the most honest assessment of what you're seeing today and where you see yourself in the next couple of months ahead.
You mentioned the importance of having good communication and developing the relationship with the owners and the clients. How important is it to do the same thing with your supplier partners when you're having supply chain issues and inflationary issues?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Paul, and that's just as important. I don't want to say more important. Obviously, relationships across the board are key, from supplier relationships to client relationships, but that's going to be key to have those supplier relationships. And fortunately for us here at RPM, we do have the luxury of scale, and so we are able to probably have more competitive pricing than maybe smaller management companies, and we're fortunate for that. But I think what's key is – continuing to strengthen your relationship with your suppliers, both for need urgent items to also potentially working out larger package deals to scale that can save you, save your company, not just your property, but other properties within your portfolio. Every penny counts where you can save it at this point.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes left in the segment. Can you share some tips 1, 2, and 3 for what you recommend properties, property managers, regional managers do when it comes to inflationary type of issues and budget? What do you think they should do?
Yeah, I think what's really important, and sometimes we can forget even in this business, is to make sure that you're spending time with your eyes on your property. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is walking your property, walking your maintenance shop, taking a look at your back office, really taking a look at the product itself and making sure that you have a good sense of what's working, what's not, where it shines and where it shows well and where it doesn't. And, that's key, and I think the first start to really kind of assessing your business of what you need and what you don't need. And then again, I think from a cost standpoint is really finding ways to be resourceful. I think it has some to do with also hiring really amazing, talented associates, especially on the maintenance side. Obviously, we're all looking for those incredible unicorns that could do a little bit of everything. And they're becoming more in demand, maintenance supervisors that can fix things or make repairs in more creative ways than maybe some others. And that you'll find some savings there as well. So I think, just being creative and understanding some of the resources you currently have, both in product supplies, but also in people, and finding ways to really be creative in your problem solving will, I think, benefit you. And I think your clients and owners will really appreciate your efforts.
Got about a minute left. When it comes to prioritizing things on the property when you're walking the property, I would assume that the life health and safety issues would be a top priority.
Yeah, that is key. That is a top priority, and you should be up to date on all your inspections there for sure. What's key as well is aesthetically, how well does your property show? Drive in with a fresh pair of eyes, or maybe have a friend or a family member drive in and let them give you an honest assessment of how your property shows upon drive in. That's going to be key, and that's going to help you from a leasing standpoint. Operationally, yes, the fire, life, and safety items are going to be vital to make sure that you're up to date there. You don't want any inspection issues. Those can be very costly, and you want to avoid those at all costs as well. So, yes, if you don't have a checklist, I would highly encourage, internally get with some of your leaders and share notes from your experiences and put together, what we call sometimes a community manager checklist or a regional manager checklist or audit, if you will, to make sure that you're doing that on a frequent basis, whether that be weekly, monthly, or quarterly, so that you make sure that you're on top of everything and there's no unexpected big expenses. That's the last thing an owner wants to hear today.
All right. We're going to stop it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of multifamily operational challenges in 2023. I'm Paul Marks. Joining by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the awesome Tony Sousa, the Vice President of Operations at RPM Living. So, Tony, this is, we've covered a lot in the first three segments, but this is the segment I'm looking forward to because I want to talk to you a little bit about leadership methods and tips that you can share. I know that's an important thing to you because, again, as I said in the first segment, I follow you on LinkedIn and you're always posting great advice and insights about leadership. And that's something that I think is even more important today and will be in 2023. Let's talk about what is real leadership when it comes to being in this industry.
Yeah, you know, it's a question that I get asked fairly often, both in real life and not that online is not real life, but it's really a great question. Obviously, it's sort of there's a lot of answers or nuance to what great leadership is. And for me, I don't know if I've strived to just be a great leader, you know. And I've thought about this. What I strive to do or to be in my day job, and frankly in my personal life as well, is to be a great example, and also to be the leader that I would hope to have. And if I was in certain positions, and I would want to be the leader that was leading me. And so I think about that often as I have conversations with my team members. Am I listening? Am I being empathetic to their challenges? But at the same time, am I also challenging them? Am I holding them accountable? Am I challenging them to be better in a way that I know they can be? And then at the same time, also, I think a leader needs to be aware of trends in the industry and things that are happening. And, you know, by essence, the definition of leadership is you ultimately don't have anyone in front of you. And so, you know, when someone says, do you know where you're going? The answer is I have an idea. And I have an idea based on things that I see and observations I'm making. Have I been there before? Not always, not in every situation. But I'm confident that based on my experiences, based on my intuition, based on sort of the map that I'm looking at ahead, I have a good, strong, confident sense that we're going to get to where we're trying to go. And maybe, you know, Paul, I'm Portuguese, and so maybe it's the the discoverer in me, if you will, as a leader to find the new land ahead. I've never made that analogy until now, so but I don't know, there's something in me that is ready and willing to lead individuals that are ready and willing to follow. And at the same time, a lot of people talk about, you know, being a great leader, you also have to be a great follower. I, too, have bosses, and I have leaders that I look up to. Jason Berkowitz, of course, you know, president and CEO of RPM Living, is amazing and a great visionary, and we all look to him. But I also have, other bosses, senior VPs and divisional vice presidents that I really admire and look to. So, That's the great thing about leadership in our business. If you don't know what you're doing or where you're going, you often can rely upon other leaders around you to kind of help give you guidance. And that's what I love about this business as well. We don't always have the answers, or we don't always know exactly where we're going or what we're doing, let's say, but you have people all around you that are willing to help. And that's what I'm here for my team, is when they need guidance or need someone to talk through about the steps ahead, I'm here to talk through that and provide some guidance. But ultimately, my job is to foster other leaders to be leaders as well, both online and in real life. I try to do both of those, and hopefully it comes across. I'm pretty confident in real life it does, but hopefully, online it comes across that I do have a passion for helping other leaders grow themselves and navigate the path ahead that may just be uniquely their path.
Do you have any specific methods that you have to communicate and listen to your teams? I know I've spoken with other leaders in the industry who say that they have an all-hands call where everybody's on the call once a week or whatever it might be, or they do something where they'll make specific site visits over a period of time to every site. What do you recommend?
Yeah, it's really a layered approach. What you just mentioned are always great. We do have biweekly leadership meetings to discuss initiatives, policies, new policies, processes, updates on assets. I do try to touch base with my operators as frequently as I can. Currently, it's on a monthly basis, but looking to potentially increase the frequency of that. I do try to spend as much time as I can on site and just getting updates on what's going on there. Really, if anything, my site visits are just really kind of a temperature check of how things are going, and that helps me stay connected to those that are on site and evaluate burnout and buy-in and emotional health, if you will, of the team. So I think there's just a lot of different ways that you can check in, and that's probably the best advice that I got coming into this role, Paul, was to stay connected to your employees and associates at every level, even at the furthest level away from me. And for me in this industry, it's often the housekeepers or the porters on site. And so when I get a chance to see them or smile at them or shake their hand, I go out of my way. A lot of people don't know my background is very blue collar. My family from Portugal did arrive during the Great Depression, and my grandmother, who's since passed, did many of those jobs. And so the blue collar work, the hard work, I call it, and sometimes the thankless work, I really admire. And hopefully, the people around me, see that I do admire that. Any chance I can throw on some jeans and some gloves and help knock down cobwebs and help in any way, I try to find ways to do that. Not just to show the team I'm there for them, although that's a nice part of it. I don't do it for that. I do it for me. I do it to keep my feet on the ground, to keep my perspective that, these are sometimes the thankless jobs. And guys like me sometimes that get to sit in offices and talk on podcasts like this, get much of the praise, and for that, I'm grateful. But now what I'm trying to do in my career and with the platform that I'm on, both here at RPM and online, is to really kind of turn the camera or turn, the microphone, if you will, to them and let the greater industry hear what their struggles are and what they need. And so that's what I want to continue to use my platform for, Paul, is to be able to shine it on those who do the work, who do the hard work. And that's important for me as I go forward.
All right. We've got about a minute and a half left before I want to transition to something else with you. But what kind of personal tips can you give to leaders out there that will keep their teams motivated and going in the direction everybody wants them to go in?
Well, I think they want to know that you're all in. Mm-hmm. I think your teams want to know that you're all in for them, you're all in for the company, you're all in. And what all in means is you're there for them in the challenges, and you're there with them in the team's successes. And you're not the first one to take credit for the successes, although you may have been a part of it or helped lead, you know, some of those successes, you know. And so I think, you know, as a leader, you need to really evaluate, am I all in? And what does that mean to me? Am I always available for a call or a text? Am I always available for a conversation, a tough conversation with one of my associates that needs guidance or help? Am I all in, you know, for clients in my company? And, you know, I think if your answer is I'm not sure, then it's likely you're not. And I think if your answer is I am, and then you should be encouraged. And I would challenge you to jump further in, because you'll find that that passion, you can't fake. And people follow people with passion and strength and vision. And they also know when you're faking it. So be sure that you're all in with your heart and mind in what you do. And I think you'll find success with your team ready and willing to follow you.
All right. That is great advice. We're going to transition now. I want to just ask you, tell us a little bit about what's going on with RPM.
Yeah.
Anything that you need or you're looking for, or
sure.
And also how someone could get in touch with you and follow you like I do.
Yeah. Well, Paul, we appreciate that. RPM has been an amazing company. I've been here just about a year now, and so they're growing rapidly, and the culture here at RPM is incredible. It's one of diversity in so many different ways, and you know, it's a great company to be a part of, and I sense on the outside it continues to be an exciting company to consider growing with, and so. You know, frankly, you know, I would just invite anybody listening, if they are looking for opportunities to grow, RPM is going to be a great place to go. And so they can reach out to me, of course, in any way that they want to. I am on all the socials. I just happen to be most probably known for professionally LinkedIn. I am on Instagram and Facebook, of course. So I'm not too hard to find, I would say. I am on LinkedIn probably. Always available there as well. It's been a great platform to be able to connect with other professionals. And so, So RPM is growing. I'm happy to be a part of the industry that's growing. 23 will, I think we will face some challenges in this year, but I think with all of us, you know, sort of linked arm together in the multifamily community, I think we can see this challenging year ahead. Through and really, frankly, I think benefit from any adversity that we face and come out even stronger on the other end.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you the last word. I know you did a post, maybe it was yesterday or today, that I saw on LinkedIn talking about pride. Can you sum it up in 30 seconds?
Yeah. I mean, that stems from just a reminder to myself to take pride in the work that you do. And it's a reminder to everyone else that, you know, show up. Every situation isn't perfect, but continue just to take pride in the work that you do. And the people around you will continue to take pride in the work that they do with you. And so everything you can do it with your whole heart, do it with your whole mind, and work as hard as you possibly can. And that's ultimately where that came from.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Tony, thank you so much for being on. You're always welcome to come and share your insights and experience with our listeners. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.